Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument, United States v. Beavers. Mr. Sarosky.
Your Honors, my colleagues at the prosecution table, let me begin by saying there is not any dispute as to the facts in the Beavers case. That is not an issue. And, of course, the charge is tax evasion. And as this court knows far more than I, a good faith belief that an individual is not violating the tax laws when he files his income tax his income taxes is a complete defense to the charge, even if that belief is wrong. I think that's accepted law. And this is because, as the court well knows, the government must prove a very specific intent, a willfulness, in order to convict someone of tax evasion.
Forgive me.
Yes.
Could we talk about the W-2 forms?
Sure.
For a moment. What specifically was excluded vis-a-vis the W-2s? Was it just evidence concerning the counties?
What was excluded?
I have a little bit more
okay.
to my question.
If I may explain.
Let me...
Okay.
Say, what I was trying to figure out is this. Was it just evidence concerning the county's obligation to include the $1,200 monthly payments to Mr. Beaver's W-2 total, or was there more evidence that was excluded? That's what I need to know.
From the government's perspective, if I could state that, all the money that Mr. Beavers took from his client fund's accounts were not included in his W-2s as income. That would be, let me say first, a $68,000 check, which Mr. Beavers discovered that he was Mr. Beavers discovered he was eligible to receive a greater city pension as when he was about to resign. So therefore, he wrote a check from his pension fund to the city to cover that pension. Mr. Beavers maintains that was a loan. The government maintains it was not a loan in income and not reported, and that was one of the items not reported. A second category of item not reported, to answer Judge Rovner's question, was 100 checks. These were checks written by Mr. Beavers in the amounts of perhaps $1,000, $2,000, $4,000 over a period of 3 years, 2006, 2007, and 2008. And they totaled approximately $226,000. And Mr. Beavers did not include any of these checks on his W-2 form. And, of course, there isn't any dispute that Mr. Beavers cashed these checks and lost that money gambling, and the government maintains that that was income. Mr. Beavers maintained that was a loan. A third category of income not reported on the W-2 was when Mr. Beavers became a county commissioner. In addition to their regular salary, each county commissioner received a stipend of $1,200 a month, which that commissioner could use as he saw fit.
These are all the facts that we understand and that we've read, but you see, the government maintains that notwithstanding Judge Zagel's ruling that the defense couldn't ask about the county's duty, which is where my question was going, with respect to the W-2 forms, that the defense was nonetheless able to make the argument to the jury. And if you could speak to that point.
The defense was not able to make the argument to the jury. If I may explain where I left off, that $1,200 stipend that each county commissioner received, that county commissioner could use it for governmental expenses and it would not be income, or he could claim it personally as himself and it would be income. There isn't any question that Mr. Beaver said, "I'm claiming it as income." We presented an expert who testified that because Mr. Beaver's claimed that was income, that should be included in his W-2 when the county gave him his W-2. This was not included in his W-2. And Judge Zagel would not allow us to present to the jury that the county made a mistake in not including that $1,200 a month stipend.
So,
are
you
W-2.
Saying that the jury was unaware of what Mr. Beavers had told the county, that and that these payments had been omitted from the W-2s?
No, the jury was aware that Mr. Beavers informed the county that I have not used this money for governmental purposes. I want to use it as income. That the jury was aware of. But the jury was not aware of the fact that the county made a tax error or a mistake by not including it
the W-2. On his income tax return, did he just report income that was in W-2s?
I believe so, yes.
What do you mean you believe so?
Perhaps
his income tax return, is it just the sum of the WT?
Yes.
He had no other income?
Perhaps he may have had a dividend from some unrelated stock, but concerning the facts of this case.
What did he do with the dividend from the unrelated stock?
There may have been. I think his W-2s were only his governmental income. I believe so.
Look, where are the transcripts of the evidence? My law clerks were unable to find transcripts of the testimony in the district court.
I don't know, Your Honor. I presume they were submitted.
Mm-hmm. What evidence was presented that that the reason that he repaid money after the FBI agents talked to him was that he remembered they were loans?
Well, I don't think it was the defense position and always has been the defense position that these were always loans and that Mr. Beavers did not believe that there was any...
Well, that's a sort of separate question, but but your position is that the reason that he repaid the money after the FBI agents spoke to him was that this was just reminded him, made him remember the money. And it was not that he was trying to cover his tracks. That's your argument, and you complain that, you know, judge didn't allow the expert to testify about that.
If I could suggest,
what is the evidence to support his position?
There is not any. I think Your Honor is half correct concerning the defense position. I think Your Honor is correct that the defendant first discovered there was an impropriety with his taxes upon speaking to the FBI agents.
Well, what's the evidence for that? That is, the alternative is just that, well, the FBI is on my track, so I better pay.
He immediately contacted his accountant, his tax preparer, and his tax preparer testified to that effect, and the tax preparer...
Well, of course, if he decides, because the FBI is on his trail, that he's going to repay this or pay taxes on this money, then that's not that does not exonerate him, obviously. So what's the evidence that it wasn't that? It just reminded him that he had failed to pay his taxes.
To answer Your Honor's question, there is not any direct evidence to support Mr. Beaver's
position.
Well,
then why would you expect a jury to believe that?
Because...
Why didn't he testify?
Why
I know he's not obligated to testify. Why didn't he testify?
First, to answer your question, why do we expect the jury to believe the government position? Well, as a lawyer, you always hope the jury believes your position. But I'll be the first to acknowledge, if we had presented all the evidence we wanted, the government still may have won. The government may have had a stronger argument.
That's irrelevant. Come on.
But we were denied an opportunity
to
present that.
No, I asked you a simple question. Why didn't Beavers testify?
I think he didn't. I think, in my humble opinion, he did not testify because he felt Judge Zagel was somewhat biased against him in preventing the defense from presenting his defense. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to answer your question as frankly and honestly.
That's fine.
That every ruling Judge Zagel had ruled against the son, and Mr. Beavers felt that it was somewhat strained his credibility or believability when Judge Zagel barred his tax expert from testifying and ruled that the error that the county made in the W-2s and some of the points that we wanted to introduce into evidence could not be
introduced. Mr. Ruski, on that W-2 question on the $1,200 stipend, the defense position is that the county board was informed.
Correct. There's no doubt about that.
How did that occur? Was that a written coming from Mr.
Yes. An employee of the county came to Mr. Beavers and said, you have not filled out these forms, and Mr. Beavers wrote, one of his aides wrote, that he, Mr. Beavers, intends to keep this as income. Now, that was told to the jury.
Yeah, and that document, was that produced?
Yes, there's no dispute that that was presented to the jury. However, what the jury did not hear, and that what we felt was very critical on that point, was that it was an undisputed error by the county, after Mr. Beaver said that, to include it within his W-2, and our defense was Mr. Beaver's just presumed it was included in his W-2.
Was there any evidence as to the practice with regard to that by other commissioners?
No, there was no evidence.
We have no idea. This option, how was that option explained to the commissioner?
I believe it's told to them originally. I don't think there's any dispute that that's an option each commissioner has. I also would add that while Mr. Beavers may have been an alderman and commissioner, and he's certainly not entitled to any greater benefit because he's an alderman or commissioner, he's not entitled to any detriment because he held those positions. And Judge Zagel ruled that certainly because he's an alderman or was a Cook County commissioner, he being an influential person within local government, should have had the ability to find out whether the W-2, whether this stipend was included within his W-2. And Judge Zagel barred us relating the fact that this was an error by the county unless we could show that Mr. Beavers was aware that it was the county's obligation to put that in the W-2. And I think we have a situation.
And the only way that could happen would be if Mr. Beavers took the stand. Is that what your argument is?
That's one of our arguments. And I also would say that what, in effect, Judge Zagel did is alter the burden of proof and put a burden of proof upon the defendant to prove his innocence, also compel the defendant to testify. And if we follow Judge Zagel's ruling in a logical sense, why
but
should
the problem the is sometimes the only person who could give testimony helpful to the defendant is the defendant.
I recognize that.
And if he doesn't testify, there's nothing that can be done about that.
Well,
You can't say, well, if he had testified,
no,
he would have said X, Y,
no, no, Z. We're not saying that. We're not saying that. And I can see.
That.
No.
I don't know what you're saying.
Well, let me explain so I can.
Well, but
clear.
You're running out of time, so why don't you save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
Very good.
Ms. Bonamici?
May it please the court, counsel, good morning. To clarify.
So am I right that we don't have the transcripts?
I'm shocked to hear that, Your Honor. It's my we personally obtained the transcripts from defense counsel.
Pardon?
But it was
I'm
our
sorry.
We personally obtained the transcripts from defense counsel. However, it's my understanding that the record indicates that the transcripts are with you. So we're very surprised to hear this.
They are not. They are absolutely.
This
not
is what I'm hearing it, and I'm in shock and. We'll follow up with it immediately.
Okay, well,
of
we'd be grateful. Yeah, I think it's.
Ms. Bonamici, regarding the W-2 forms, well, please tell us what was kept out, what came in. I mean, clarify this.
It's absolutely.
A very important point as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Your Honor, you are correct that the only evidence that was excluded was evidence of the county's obligation to include in the W-2s the contingency fund payments. There was evidence in the record, or the W-2s themselves were admitted in the record. The fact that the county did not include the contingency fund payments in the W-2s was made clear to the jury, actually in multiple ways, on multiple occasions. The fact that the defendant received the W-2s.
Here's my problem. I think it's quite common for people to rely on what an employer reports as income on the W-2 form. I actually think that Mr. Gershenson's saying that many people don't even open it. You know, they just send it to the accountant, here, take it. So what I've been wondering is why exclude questions on that point, absent testimony from Mr. Beavers, given how commonly people rely on that reported figure for tax purposes. What was the purpose in keeping that out?
The problem here is that while it may very well be true that it is common for employees to rely on the accuracy of W-2s, the evidence in this case suggested something quite different. And the evidence in this case indicated quite clearly that there really was no way that Mr. Beavers relied on the W-2s relied on a belief that the contingency fund payments were included in the W-2s for this reason. The W-2s were submitted, before the defendant advised the county that he planned to take the contingency fund payments as income. Before that happened, the W-2s were created. They were sent to Mr. Beavers. Mr. Beavers provided them to his accountant. The accountant received them and used them to prepare Mr. Beavers' returns, and the accountant returned the prepared returns to Mr. Beavers. All of that happened in 2007 and 2008 before Mr. Beavers turned in the election form indicating that he planned to take the contingency fund payments as income. So the idea that was floated was that Mr. Beavers told the county that he was taking it as income, and he naturally expected that those funds would be included in income on his W-2. The problem was the evidence did not support that finding. And the testimony of the county employee who talked.
You say he knew it wasn't in the W-2s he'd submitted because he made this election after he had sent the W-2s to the accountant? Is that what you're saying?
I would say it this way. I would say that because he submitted that election afterwards, he could not rely, as his lawyers were attempting to claim, on the fact that he had submitted the election as part of the calculus.
How is that different from what I'm saying?
It's softer, I think.
It's what?
It's softer. There's other
softer?
Evidence. Softer.
I didn't understand. I thought what you were saying was He submits these W-2s. They don't have this extra income because it's only later that he decides to take that money as income. So it couldn't be in his W-2s, and an income tax return based on the W-2s would leave out that income.
And I think that's correct, especially the way that he was suggested, that his lawyers were suggesting the analysis went. But the difference is he might have also, hypothetically, didn't happen in this case, but he might have also just not realized that there was any connection between submitting the election forms and what was going to be on the W-2. So that's where I see the distinction. But in this case, the evidence showed that the W-2s reflected income of approximately $85,000. Mr. Beavers clearly knew what his salary was. The salary was set by the board upon which he sat. There's no question he knew what his salary was. And if the contingency fund payments had been included, the wages would reflect more than $14,000 more. So it wasn't a small distinction. And we know that Mr. Beavers looked at his W-2s because there was evidence in the record from Mr. Beavers' accountant indicating that on one occasion, Mr. Beavers received his tax return from the accountant and called the accountant to point out and complain that the accountant had not included all of the withholding indicated on some of the W-2Gs that he received based on his gambling income. So that he was fly-specking. The evidence showed that he was fly-specking these documents. He was not just assuming, as some other employee might have done. And with respect to your question earlier, Judge Posner, in fact, the defendant received income from a multitude of different sources. He had wages and salary from the county. He had multiple pension receipts. He was receiving pension all at the same time from multiple sources. He had earnings from gambling, although those were offset by losses. But he did receive a number of W-2s. And in fact, that was one of the arguments that was made to the jury, was he had so many documents, you know, it really wasn't practical to think that he could have gone through them. That's what he had an accountant for. So the answer to the question is this wasn't a normal circumstance or a usual situation where you might assume that the taxpayer relied on the W-2. The evidence suggested just the opposite. And the district court held that if Mr. Beavers did provide evidence that drew some link between the county's obligation and his state of mind at the time of the offenses, the judge was inclined to allow that evidence in. But there was no such evidence presented. And that was clearly the defendant's choice. And that actually was the theme of a lot of what went on with respect to the evidentiary issues in this case. The defense attempted to present evidence that really had no link to state of mind. I mean, hypothetically might have it, but there was no evidentiary basis for it. And then sought to supply the evidentiary basis in the form of argument of counsel, which, of course, is inappropriate. So that was really the theme, and it continued throughout the trial in many different iterations.
That is?
The fact is that the defendant did receive a fair trial here. The errors that, as we set forth in the brief, the errors that have been noted are not errors at all. And if the court has no further questions, we would ask that the defendant's conviction and sentence be affirmed.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bonamici. Mr. Sarosky?
About a minute.
To address the point that Judge Posner raised before my time was up, I certainly would agree that Mr. Beaver's testimony was one way that he could have presented his defense. On the other hand, we have a right not to testify, and if one chooses not to testify, there are other ways that Mr. Beavers could present his defense to the jury, and all those were blocked by rulings by Judge Zagel. Specifically, as we've said, he was the defense was unable to show the jury that the county made a mistake on the W-2. In addition thereto, the jury never knew about the amended tax returns that Mr. Beavers filed. The jury never heard from the testimony of the expert. And the testimony of the expert, he would have testified that he is an expert, saw evidence of money going back and forth between the campaign fund and Mr. Beavers, and this was evidence of a loan. And concerning the pension check, the expert would testify that it was not treated as income. It was not...
Was there a loan document presented?
No, there was not any loan document. And strike that. It's not that they didn't hear from the expert. The expert testified, and then Judge Beavers instructed the jury to completely disregard what he said. And that was devastating to the defense. And so Judge Zagel, in effect, if I could return to civil law, put a condition precedent before Mr. Beavers could present his defense. He said Mr. Beavers had to show that he knew these things. Mr. Beavers had to testify that he knew these things or was aware of these things and did not allow the defense to present other evidence to show there was a good faith or absence of mistake on the part of Mr. Beavers.
Did you at any time try to put on a witness from the county to say, we made a mistake here?
A county witness did testify for the government, and the county witness was a lower-level employee who was not familiar with accounting.
So no one from the county ever...
Well, we had our tax expert said it was a mistake, and while the government had their tax experts dispute some of the items our tax expert said, there was...
Your answer is no.
Right. There was not any... Right. But there was not any government disagreement that the county was required to report this.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you.
And we thank Ms. Bonamici as well.